chalice was given to me when I was ordained a priest. I belonged to another priest prior to me, a priest who is now married with two adult children, a priest whose name is listed with those other priests who no longer can do ministry, a priest who himself was abused by a member of the clergy. I am so grieved, so deeply grieved and saddened. I am ticked, angry, frustrated. I almost feel nauseous at times. I'm so sad and grieved because members of our body have been wounded by those who are called to be shepherds, leaders, even bishops. The pain that they carry for their life, is not easy. Many have left the church, left their faith, feel lost. And it grieves me. For me to hear over these, again, last few weeks, the grief and frustration that you carry hurts. I hate it. I hear you. I'm with you. And yes, I am angry, ticked at what has happened, frustrated. How can this happen? I thought it had been resolved, and then resolved again, and then resolved again. I thought it was done. And it isn't. There may be even more, they say, whoever they is. Like, how can they have allowed it to happen? Aren't they, the bishops, meant to protect us, lead us, lay down their lives for you? Again, I experience a little, like, almost nauseousness. You know, like if your tooth hurts, it just kind of throws off my whole system. I remember when I was a kid, I wanted, at times, a different body. I wanted to be 7 foot tall and able to dunk the ball. I wanted an arm that could throw a football to the other end of the end zone. I wanted to have a swing at that bat so that I could outdo Ernie Banks of the Cubs. I wanted a knee that actually worked. But I have the body that I have and not another. And we are one body. And our body is sick. There are parts of our body that have cancer, that are dying, that perhaps have to even be, as it says, as St. Paul himself will say at times, need to be cut off from the rest of the body. As Jesus himself, in Matthew 19. There are members of our body, our sisters and brothers who are wounded and hurt and grieving and weak and stumbling. Now, like you, I've probably read one too many articles and listened to one too many newscasts. There are 1,000 theories as to why what has happened has happened. And I'm guessing in every theory there's at least some truth to it. And I do not know what the answer is. I do not know if there is a silver bullet. Probably not. I don't know if there's much that any of us can really do. But I do know there's some things we can do. We can first and foremost pray. Beg God for his mercy. Beg God for his justice. It's an old saying in the church, it is the poor who want justice and the rich who want mercy. See, those who have been abused want justice. They're not in a point, many, of giving mercy. So how do we hold accountable the church? Everyone from the bishops, the Pope, to me, to you. How do we hold the church accountable? It needs to be held accountable. How do we have that transparency which allows for health and life and brings light to where there's decay and mold and evil and sin? I do believe that one of the keys is you, the laity. I mean, yep, I'm a priest. I've got Sister Jennifer sitting over here. But really what's so important is that you hold me, us, accountable. But also what I'm so grateful for, what encourages me, is that over these last number of years, I have seen you, the laity, really stand up and take an ever more active role and involvement in the life of the church. I mean, the finances of the church, both in the diocese and here in the parish, are 100% open to members of this community. We have people now who work for the church to make sure that we have background checks and a billion other things so that our environments can be safer. We have members of the parish of you who do incredible ministry, engaging in great and beautiful and holy ministry that inspires and heals and brings life. So I want to encourage you to be ever more involved, encourage you to hold me and priests and bishops accountable. Take an ever more active role. It's one body. And all this, at times, I can feel overwhelmed and depressed, if you will. You know, there are times when it's great wearing a Roman collar and you go in and people go, oh, Father. But the last few days, not really. Times when I'd be like a turtle. It's a poem I recalled earlier this week that over my lifetime has brought me some hope and some encouragement. A poem by Gerard Manley Hopkins, a Jesuit who was in Ireland years ago, a century ago, suffered from depression, pressed forward. It's a poem entitled The Grandeur of God. But it's about the earth and it's his observation of the earth and how the earth, this beautiful creation of God, takes a beating, takes a beating, takes a beating from the human race. But it never gives up. For me, it's becoming an expression of hope, unfortunately, for the church. Hopkins writes, "The world is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like shining from shook foil. It gathers to a greatness like the ooze of oil crushed. Why do men then not wreck his rod? Generations have trod, have trod, have trod. And all is seared with trade, blared, smeared with toil. And wears man's smudge and shears man's smell. The soil is bare now, nor can feet feel being shod. And for all this, nature is never spent. There lives the dearest freshness deep down things. And though the last lights off the black west went, oh, morning, and the brown brink eastward springs, because the Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breaths, with bright wings. Today's gospel, Jesus laid it on the lines for his apostles. And as everyone was leaving, he turned to them and said, "What about you? Are you too going to leave?" And Peter, speaking on behalf of we, found within him this incredible expression of faith, which for me is at times quite weak. But he realized, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. May God grant to us, this little community here, and to the whole church, a renewal of faith during these days, so that we can move forward. Again, believe it begins with prayer. I invite you now to join me. Father, we turn to you with grief in our hearts. Grief for those who have suffered, from members of our own body. We turn to you with confusion and our own lostness. We ask that you, who are the way, to show us how to move forward in faith. We pray for those who have been hurt, that you bring healing, grace, restore them. We pray for those who have not been but need to be held accountable. Indeed, that might happen. We pray, Lord, too, for us as a small little community in the midst of this sea of the church, that we might grow in our own ways to be holy and to love. We cry out to you, O Lord. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us.